Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are really, really glad to be with you. We have a really important show for you here. And I got to tell you, this is going to open up a can of worms, and we're going to go in so many different directions. And what I'm talking about is I'm going to be interviewing someone we've had on before to talk about Chinese labor abuse, Marilyn Rupar. And Marilyn had experience working in China with the Chinese, and we had a great show there. That was bad enough in terms of what we uncovered. What we're about to uncover today is beyond bad. It's just criminal, and it's just we're in stage four cancer mode when it comes to the cartels. And we're going to be taking a little trip up to Humboldt County to really make our point. But before we get started, I need to let you know there's a couple of groups that make this show possible, and we are so happy to have them as our sponsors. First, Health Masters, my good friend Ted Brewer. I gotta tell you, Ted is helping people like you wouldn't believe. You've heard me rave about him. You need to find out why I go to Ted before I go to my doctor, and it's for good reason. It's for the results I've gotten. So go to healthmasters.com, use the coupon code DH5 to take 5% off, and find out why people are just raving about what Ted does for them. Also, we are brought to you by PrepareWithDave.com, the best in storable food. When the proverbial poop hits the fan, ladies and gentlemen, we got a real problem. And if you allow yourself to be short on food and water, the bad guys will use it to manipulate you. They'll use food and water as a weapon. You need to make sure you're independent. Heck, even FEMA says you need 6 months of storable food. We're telling you need 2 years. Well, we're offering it to you at 70% off, restaurant quality. It's absolutely the best in the business. No glyphosates, no GMOs. Go to preparewithdave.com to find out what this is all about. And I'm sure you'll say, Dave, thanks for opening our eyes to this. And finally, we're open. We're really pleased and honored to be sponsored by Trade Genius, my good friend Bob Griswold, who you've heard on this show. He comes on here and says, hey, this is how you need to prepare for disasters. And he's right on the money. He's a popular guest, but his company is second to none. I call him King Prepper. Why? Because anything you want and need, he's got it. He'll finance you. He'll also give you individual consultations for free. And I know of no one in the business that does this other than Bob. So how do you get a hold of Bob? Well, first go see what he has to offer. Go to Boy, getting ahead of myself here, ladies and gentlemen. What we want to talk about here. Let me come back to this, okay? Because I got to tell you, we are now being buzzed here by F-35s. I am not joking. And it may come bleed through. And this is absolutely incredible. I don't know if you can hear it in the background. Let me bring on Marilyn here. I'm going to come back to Bob Griswold and what he does for people. But I want to get into this. Marilyn, I don't know if this is an accident, but it is. It's late afternoon. It's evening where you're at. It's actually after 6 o'clock where I'm at. The planes are supposed to not be running right now, and they're buzzing the hell out of us. It's absolutely incredible. I don't know if you can hear it.
We're on the retina, Dave, both you and I.
Well, you know, we tried to do this interview a day before, and yeah. I couldn't get you in the normal communication modes. I mean, it just wouldn't ring through. And I tried for 20 minutes.
They probably saw I have a VPN on my computer. However, I did about 36 hours of straight research on the subject we're talking about here. So maybe that ring a bell too, you know?
I know. It's just something here. I'm saying, hey, Bob Griswold, come rescue me here, okay? Bob Griswold is our survivor expert on this show. And I got to tell you, There's so much interference that I'm going through right now. It's absolutely phenomenal. I've had interviews disappear off my computer, so I put them right on USB now when I pre-record. Because Marilyn, you will not believe. And by the way, I should introduce our guest here. It's Marilyn Rupar, as I said. And we are just going through so much harassment. I mean, it's bad enough they're shadow banning us, and that Google basically tries to push our stories down to the bottom, and they put the mainstream media stories ahead of us to discredit us. It's bad enough that they do that, but it's just absolutely incredible what we are now seeing here in the form of harassment. You know, Marilyn, before we went on the air, I just got an email from someone. It involves Steve Quayle's website, and I sent him through an email on this, that people are getting default notices on his website now as we speak. So it's
what
not...
What does that mean, that they're not able to get through, right?
That's right. They're being defaulted to somewhere else. And there are sites that these people go to every single day. Well, I had a deal. You know, I was sabotaged by my own webmaster, and I have proof of that. I mean, he left back doors open on my site, and I've had forensic team go through my site, and they go, you were sabotaged, Dave. But what ended up happening here was people could see some of my articles in certain parts of the country. In other parts of the country, it took them 5 days to see what I had published. And so
my computer has been, it's almost as if, I mean, I have an antivirus, you know, WebRoot, and have a root. All of a sudden, it's taking me probably 10 times as long to get in and out to load pages. And then my computer is just shutting down the, I have start mail, and that's just shutting off. The VPN, I'm having to redo it two times a day now.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. And, you know, we represent Virtual Shield, and the sales are through the roof, and that's why. But my friend Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources, I'm going to put him on this. He has a background with the, I hate to say this, with the spooks, but he has a background. I mean, he knows things. And the things we don't talk about on air, but he's the best prepper in the world, and he helps people for nothing at readymaderesources.com. But I'm going to take this to him, because I'll play the first few minutes of this broadcast for him and say, Bob, what's going on here? What are they doing to us? But Marilyn, let's hope that, keep our fingers crossed, pray that the Lord will let this interview go through, because here they come again. I can hear them on the approach. And I live out in
rural area. Well, I grew up on a military. My dad was in aviation, so I'm familiar with the thundering sense in the atmosphere when those things fly anywhere near you.
Yeah, they're especially loud today. Now, we do have pop filters here that will take a lot of the stuff out. And so I'm not sure how much is coming through, and maybe hopefully none of it will bleed through. But anyway, I want to get down to brass tacks here, knowing that they know what we're going to talk about, and I think we're seeing signs of interference. I want to talk about Humboldt County for a second and where this is going involving the cartels. I watched a documentary really serendipitously. I just was kind of flipping around, and this looks interesting. Murder Mountain, I believe it was called. And it was terrible, terrible, terrible. It was a story about Humboldt County people who were in the black market initially going back to the 80s, and they were making their own pot, and they had their own community, and the sheriffs and the law enforcement all ignored them. They would never, 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 never come into their area in the lower third of Humboldt County. And then they legalized marijuana. And so then it was the corporates that moved in. The black marketeers could not really afford the upfront cost to become legal. And now the murder rate, the disappearance rate of these people is off the charts. And I don't have any proof that the sheriff is corrupted, but when I read body language and I look at how he could have arrested people that were presented as being murdered, and they knew who murdered them, and some people on the show named who the murderers were, and they found the dead bodies. And this guy said, not enough proof. It's on private property. Or really, so if I go on the sheriff's property and murder his wife, that's okay? I mean, that's private property, sheriff. Come on, sheriff. Fair game. Got to have the same rules. I mean, I got to tell you what I was told. I was told this sheriff got talked to in his living room, and he was not a free man when he was talked to. And that's what I've been told. And there's basically, there's lawlessness in Humboldt County. And I've also gotten emails on this from people in the area. They said, Dave, it's in the surrounding counties as well, but Humboldt is the center of it. So to talk to us about it, and I had mentioned this to Marilyn, Actually, she had read what I had written, kind of, oh, by the way, and then we had talked about it, and we said, you know what, let's do some research on this. So she went out and went crazy, and she now has enough to write a book. It could be bigger than War and Peace, but it's one of the most thorough research jobs I've ever seen. And what we're going to find out is how much our country's been compromised. And I don't mean by drug dealers. I mean by forces much more powerful. So, Marilyn, after you read a little bit about what I wrote and you went and found what you found, let's jump in. Where's the starting point in all this for you with all your extensive research?
Well, the correlation, and this is just...
Marilyn, you're going to have to reorient a little bit. You're breaking up a little bit, so you're going to have to reorient.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
That was only about 1% of what I believe we could report on. And
boy.
The correlation, the email I sent to you, which was the first line, I said, Dave, my hair was on fire when I heard what you and Paul Preston had to say about Humboldt. Because I lived there between 1980 and 83. And then also the correlation with the cartels and the gangs. I lived in Los Angeles and started to get up front and personal with the gangs when I worked in Los Angeles in the apparel business. And some murders and all different kinds of things. Then the last point, it got very real for me in 2009 to 2018 in Albuquerque. Cartels, that the entire town is run by cartels. All of the research verified what I'm saying. And country, and how do you say, the Sinaloa cartel runs and rules all of Mexico, period. Humboldt is going to become the executioner, literally, of people's lives if they don't do business in the manner.
Can you move away from the door?
That the cartels want them to do business. It's just going to start with the drug runners up there. Personal lives are going to... The murder rate is so high. What's going in? I just read a report today. Just today. Tijuana is the highest... Get this. Which is, what, half an hour south of our border? 20 minutes south, right over our border?
Right.
You're the stats guy, right? 138.26 per 100,000 murders. Okay, times five, which would be a half million. A lot of people live in towns that are half a million. That means 691.3 murders per half million, which runs down to about 60 some per month. That's what they're averaging down there.
That's incredible. Well, we have the same thing in the Phoenix area. Now, I don't live in the Phoenix area. I live north of Phoenix. Half hour out of the most northerly western suburb, but we have the same kind of deal here. We lead the world in kidnapping, and it's because we have an extensive cartel-sponsored human bondage, child sex trafficking operation here that runs out of Phoenix right straight into the southern border. And drugs, of course, and guns are part of it. And this is what we find in Humboldt. Let me just talk about what I saw here on the documentary done by Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. They talked about this kid named Garrett Rodriguez, who really wasn't into the drugs. He just wanted to go there and make some money so he could buy his own house on the beach in Mexico, and his dad was going to help him. And his dad begged him not to go. Well, he got murdered, and they know who did it. They found Garrett's body. The people in the area rose up together and formed their own vigilante group. They went and arrested the guy. They actually shot him in a struggle. He went to the hospital. He's identified as the shooter, admitted he shot in front of witnesses, and the sheriff won't do a damn thing about it.
Well, he's afraid.
Exactly.
What's going on, you see the correlation in the research. What happens with cartels, like you said, for instance, the cartels come to your house, lock you down the door in the middle of the night. They come in and they lay it down. And they say, look, you do it this way or we're taking your wife right now. That's what's being done.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I do believe that law enforcement is compromised there. I've been on radio shows there in the area, and I didn't realize this in the past. And we're going back to the beginning of the Jefferson movement prior to CalExit. And I was on in places like Eureka and other places. And I have to tell you, I felt something strange and sinister. I could talk about the New World Order and talk about the usual conspiracy stuff that engulfs the deep state. But as soon as I got into drug trafficking, they did not want me to talk about this on either of the shows I was on.
Well, it goes back historically. I lived there, as I mentioned, in the early 80s. But in my reports I read, it's culturally, the drug business or drug trade is never talked about in public. And so what you're talking about is anything that a person really believes other than smoking grass, literally, is you don't go public with it up there.
Yeah,
because
I found that
knows
out.
You can be disappeared.
Oh, and by the way, Humboldt County leads the country in disappearance rates.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're right, you can be disappeared. There's a congressman up there in the 1st Congressional District, Doug McAuliffe or something rather, and the people up there will know who I'm talking about. And I had contact with some of his staff.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, every now and then there's a blank where I cannot hear.
Exactly.
Blank.
Exactly, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. We're being messed with, but as I say, the show will go on. So anyway, I used to have contact with these people, and they worked for the congressman in the 1st Congressional District, and they thought I was a great guy. In fact, one of them had a Saturday morning radio show, and I had been on it a number of times, until all of a sudden I started talking about some of the forces that were coming into play in the area. Some of them was organized crime, and I said there was cartel activity, and they never had me on again. In fact, I actually printed it on my website, and I was raged at for daring to talk about it. I mean, I was raged at, threatened, not threatened bodily, but we'll never talk to you again, Dave. This discredits you. And I'm saying, wait a minute. I'm just reporting what's been in some of your newspapers and what some of your citizens are telling me. And they didn't want this out there. So it's kind of like a Stepford Wives organization. There's a conspiracy of silence with Humboldt County. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, it's from beneath the silence, even. You know, that's the term I use, because everything that's going on over here, they are afraid to go public, even for someone like me. If I lived up there and I was having this conversation with you, I would be afraid that, because it's a small area, everyone knows everyone. And there's not any main roads in or out, technically. It's 5 hours to San Francisco. If you go east, it's a two-lane road over to the east. You go north, it takes a while to get up to Oregon, about an hour just to get onto the main road, 2 hours to get onto the main road. And it's deadly. You could go through the redwoods and get pulled over and killed, because there's very little cell service up there.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. Mm-hmm. There was one clip in the documentary. And I have to tell you, the people that made that documentary have great courage. But there was one clip when they had the sheriffs coming in, and this was in the beginning of the documentary, but they were showing, we're going to show you this at the end, because this is what happened when marijuana was legalized. And so the cops are now coming into the area for the first time, and there's like a caravan of sheriffs. And passing the sheriffs were these, remember this, the guys on the motorcycles? And the one experienced sheriff said to the less experienced one in a car, he said, oh, no, you don't have to reach for your gun. He said, they're just making sure we don't get out of line and don't see things we're not supposed to see, and they're here to escort us through what they don't want us to see. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that was effectively what they were saying. And this sheriff said, this is the United States of America, and the sheriffs are being escorted through a crime area?
Right.
I mean, this is how out of control it is there.
Without everyone getting online like you and I and doing the research, it's ISIS in America, technically.
Explain that, if you would, a little bit.
I do need to say this. I've been researching this for about a year or two, actually, online. And what's shocking to me, very shocking, and there are public videos that are put on the websites down in Mexico of beheadings, of dismemberments, hangings, shootings, executions. And what happens is that ISIS did this in the Middle East, and we know the refugees, et cetera, what happened out of it. But the point is that this is what, my opinion is this. They go in to an illegal choke grower, you know, his property, 40 acres or whatever. He's been up there for 30 years doing business on his own. And they come in and they say, we're taking your land, we're taking your business here, or you give us a cut of the action. If he refuses, they will dismember him on a video. They will take that down a quarter mile over the mountain and show it to the neighbor. This is what we did to Bobby down here. You'll never see Bobby again. You never even hear that he's been disappeared. And everyone's scared to death to come forward. That's what's going on.
And let me ask you, you know this how?
Pardon me?
How did you find this out?
If Sinaloa cartels are taking over, and, you know, we looked at some information on this, that they're already in Humboldt. They've been doing business there for some time. Why would they do business any differently here in the U.S. than they're already been doing, the business they've already been doing and their methods in Mexico? Why would it be any different?
I agree. Well, I agree. I agree. How are you aware that the Sinaloas are actually involved with the corporate pot farmers coming in to take over that trade formerly run by the black marketeers in Humboldt County?
One of the things they're known for is that any business, whether you're, they shot a small street vendor selling vegetables on the street for not giving them a part of the action. If they will do that to a street vendor, they would get involved in any business above that. It's well understood down there that if a person has a business, there was an event happened about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. A man had, he has a business, an aluminum business, producing aluminum. His wife was abducted. This is another thing that happened. He was not able to come up with a ransom. And it showed a video of her being abducted and thrown into a car. She was thrown on the side of the road 3 days later. A beautiful young mom in her 30s.
This is inside of America.
Yes.
This is incredible. I think some people are going to be telling Dave, don't be so naive, but this is in deep inside of America. This isn't even at the border.
Exactly. Well, another thing that I read some of the comments on some of the websites that I go to, and the comments evidently was from a Sinaloa guy, and he said, we're in every small town. You won't know. You.
Wow.
You know where the rural workers in the fields are running drugs on the side, and you will never know what we do. But we're here.
Mm-hmm. I want to take away from what you're saying for a minute here. Right before you made your last statement, I heard a low-pitched male voice come in between us. Did you hear it or not?
Well, I'm single here. I have no...
Okay, no. I'm not suggesting you have someone there talking on the microphone. This was like a third party joining the broadcast. I wondered if you heard it. Did you?
No, I didn't. But let me ask you this. We need to talk about why this is such a point that people, whoever, quote unquote, air quotes, they do not want this to get out. Why?
I don't usually stumble over my words, but I will tell you I know why, but it takes so many steps to get to the final step. The CIA are the biggest drug traffickers in the world, along with the Mossad and a lot of the intelligence agencies around the world, and that's not much of a secret. And so at the root of this is CIA-sanctioned approval. Okay, I mean, it's not like they're there on the ground doing this, but they approve of what's happening. And they partner with the Sinaloas. In fact, I had a DEA agent who couldn't reveal confidential information to me back in 2014. So he referred me to a 2010 case. He said, Dave, this will tell you everything you need to know. And there was a guy named Nieblas who was on trial in Chicago. And he used as his defense, and he actually was able to convince the court that they were promised, they being the Sanchez-Paredes drug cartel that coordinates ISIS and coordinates the Sinaloas and coordinates terrorist groups in the Middle East into one cohesive organization in Central America, that the Sanchez-Paredes guys were allowed free travel back and forth to the United States under the Obama administration, and they were promised 80% non-interference with their drug shipments into the United States, and only 20% would be commandeered. And this guy's argument was, you can't prosecute me because I was part of the 80%. And this is what the DEA agent sent me to, because he said, I can't tell you what's on file, Dave. I could go to jail, but I can point you to a publicly available case. And okay, what you look at here was this was sanctioned by the Obama administration, but really the CIA was the operative agent, and they're using these cartels to carry out these activities. So I know it's a long-winded answer to your question, but that's how I see the power structure coming down.
Well, yes, they have been in business. Sinaloa have been in business for over 30 years. In 1988, they began doing business in Mexico. So they've had, and one of the things they do, their leader, El Chapo, was just arrested, and, you know, he's in prison now. But these guys are in the United States. I see them as the main drug, how would you say, not so much, well, like you say, human trafficking. They're already, some of them have been arrested in Eureka for heroin and methamphetamine, and I think some fentanyl in the last, you know, recent days. But the drug trade, like you're saying, is that, I guess, what gets to me is that how many people do not know. If anybody out there is smoking grass, you're part of it. Part of it. Doing drugs is causing this. And I'm not coming from a holier than that. As an athlete, I've never smoked. My lungs are the weakest part of my body. But
right,
anyone doing drugs is creating this situation, the hellhole that we are bringing into this nation.
I agree with you. I could not agree with you more that we are the agents of our own demise, and that these people would absolutely have no market share if people said, we don't want drugs. What do we want? Let's just smoke dirt. Why aren't they selling us dirt to take? And well, because dirt doesn't bring you pleasure. And people here are into short-term gratification, and drugs are the way to go, and the young people are really providing the market, the majority of the market. And now we're getting into legalized pot. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. See, they've crossed a big barrier, Marilyn. They've crossed a huge barrier by making marijuana legal in California. What they're saying now is, well, gee, we're not the agents of our own demise. This is just pure recreational stuff like drinking a beer.
Well, you asked me in my note to you, witchcraft is in Humboldt, and you said, well, how might that happen? I think you alluded to that. Anybody who's walking around high on any kind of drug, and then it's a satanic dimension, period. And half that town is, it's like Woodstock. When I arrived there in 1980, I literally saw hippie buses parked in the woods.
Yeah, they showed some of those on the documentary, Murder Mountain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they showed those, yes.
And so the metaphysical is what they're really into. My sister is into witchcraft. We have a lobster, period. They're into witchcraft. They're into New Age. They're into crystals. They're into metaphysical religions, all of that. It's probably 95% of what is actually going on in that talk. And my sister and her husband are business people. Both have master's degrees, clean cut.
Well, I don't think that really is a disqualifier, because Hillary Clinton belongs to a satanic temple out of L.A. that she goes to once a month. And we documented that in the 2016 election process. So, witchcraft is recognized now as a religion, and it's reached deeply into the mainstream, and it's a lot more prevalent than people think. Let me tell you what I've been told. Mm-hmm. The Pope had a closed-door meeting with people of various denominations. One of them was witchcraft, trying to create a single religion for the world. Oh yeah, they did. They did Episcopalians. They did Mormons. They did Jews. They did Muslims. Oh, and this has been pretty widely circulated. I have been sent this on email trackings that people will send me interesting news and links to. And the Pope, of course, is denying it, but the reports are so voluminous, I don't see how it's not true. And he's seeking a single world religion, and he's not taking the best of Christianity. Let me just say that.
Yes, just today I heard a report that he's allowing a Mormon temple to be built somewhere around by the Vatican as of today that came through the news.
Well, it's not the Mormons, though. And the thing is I don't know where this really reaches with the Mormon people. I don't know if this represents the top of their leadership or is it kind of a rogue sect. I mean, we all have rogue elements in our religions. So I don't want to condemn the Mormons without having any more proof than what we have. But I can tell you they've got Protestant religious people meeting with the Pope about creating a single world religion. And there's a term called Chrislam. Yeah, you've heard the term called Chrislam, I'm sure. The combination of Christianity,
Christianity
and Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you put that term on YouTube, Chrislam, automatic demonetization. Automatic. They hit me before I even went public. I published and wasn't public, and boop, can't do it. Chrislam.
Well, this is off the subject. I'm going to say it is that what is going on right now in Christianity. I came literally out of the Jesus movement. I've known the Lord since I was 19. 40-some years ago. There's a new movement right now, quote-unquote, that's called the Send and the Call. There were 40,000 young people who showed up in Orlando about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Warren is heading this up, and IHOP out of Kansas City is heading it up. They are basically socialist, communistic, and they have on one of their websites for one of their events a manifesto saying we want to be in the middle and we want to be radical. That's actually one of their professions.
Well, radical means disruptive. We're talking to Marilyn Rupar, and we're talking about the events in Humboldt County, and you can see this has a lot of tentacles because we've already gone in a lot of different directions because there's so much connecting this. But I want to let you know the second part of this particular broadcast is brought to you by Ready Made Resources and Bob Griswold. And this is when we were being buzzed by the F-35s in the first section. I was trying to talk about it, and I got a little distracted. But I want you to go to readymaderesources.com. Bob Griswold has the best prepper website out there. And as I mentioned, he'll consult with you for nothing. And there's nothing he doesn't have. And he'll finance the high-end purchases if that's where you feel you need to go. But the best thing about Bob is he really will get you going in the right direction. So readymaderesources.com. We're also brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals and Steve Quayle. And you can see all about Renaissance Precious Metals by going to Steve's website at stevequayle.com. That's Q-U-A-Y-L-E. And also, when you go there, you'll see that there's all kinds of great opportunities there. Steve's written new books and stuff. Fantastic. But listen, you don't want to get caught with your money in the bank with what's coming. You want to keep an emergency fund, and I'm a customer of Steve's. So what I'm saying to you is you really need to jump into the great divide and become a holder of precious metals. And you can also give them a call at, let's do this. The easy thing is to do just go to the website, okay, Steve Quayle. And I'll tell you, folks, don't leave all your money in the bank. Happened to my mom's side of the family in the Depression. And they never recovered. Anyway, back to Marilyn. And Marilyn, I want to go back into the county, Humboldt County. And I want to talk about the ISIS connection. Can you give us some of your best documentation that says, hey, we got ISIS here, we've got the Sinaloas here, we've got whatever rogue group, but they're here, and here's how we know it. What would you say to that?
Well, you were talking, you know, Kathy Rubio, I love her, whenever she's on.
Good friend of the show, absolutely.
That's the tie. Okay, so that, she has specific firsthand experience with that. What's coming north through California and the Cal-Exit movement and all of that, they are sending in, they're training these guys, and how would you say, their methods, when you look at their, and I have looked at the videos, it's sickening because I want, you know, I'll be prepared if these guys show up, you know, in my front yard. What they do, and they're actually more gruesome than what we. ISIS basically just chopped off a person's head. Okay, so the tie is these guys will decapitate, but they will do it with a knife, a dull knife. it might take 10 or 15 minutes to saw and to cut off a head, like you're cutting off the head of a chicken or something. So the tie is the method, in my opinion, satanic rituals. This is what they're doing. This, to me, is the tie. And with Kathy Rubio, hi, Kathy. I love you if you're listening out there. The tie is these guys have been trained by ISIS down in Nicaragua or wherever they are in the jungle.
Well, it's the most... Yeah, we just had a cutout. Did you hear that?
Yes, about 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome to my world. I was going to go eat dinner shortly after this broadcast, but I think that last description, and by the way, chicken was going to be the main course. I think I'm going to tell my wife I want the, I think we've got ravioli. I'm not going to eat the chicken.
Would you like me to give people the website that I go to so they can see this for themselves?
Yes, please.
Okay. Everybody get a pencil and paper out or replay this video. It's called Borderland Beat, BORDERLANDBeat.com. This is where I've seen probably 80% of what I'm talking about. Then, if you want to know even more, and if you want to verify what's going on, every article is coming from another Spanish website. Okay, so you will click on that link. It says by, you know, Hugo so-and-so, and it'll show you the link he's coming from, where she's coming from. You will then be taken into a Spanish newspaper. You can translate any article any news site out there that's Spanish from translategoogle.com. Do your own research, man. Your hair will be on fire. It's coming to a town near you.
Back in the last Central American invasion, I was talking with a Texas Ranger, high-ranking Texas Ranger. He told me they were preparing for scenarios in which groups like ISIS and their related allies were going to take over small Texas towns, execute the police departments, and they were prepared to move in, you know, to basically, you know, countermand the situation. Now, it didn't happen, but they prepped for it, and they were extremely worried about it. In fact, I actually got some hate mail from law enforcement in Texas for daring to print this confidential source and his information. And this is very much what you're saying. Let's go back to 1980s when you were there in Humboldt County. Who was really running the marijuana trafficking? Where is a bunch of independent... There's that voice again. Was there independent rogue people involved? Or were there criminal organizations involved as well, too?
Well, I was waiting tables. I think I mentioned that to you in the note. I was talking
yes,
about it.
Right.
I was waiting tables in a Chinese restaurant there. A man from New York City. I'm from L.A. I'm not afraid of people from the city. He came in with his son. A New Yorker came in to Humboldt or into Eureka. He offered me $5,000 to go, and in those days they called it grooming. He said, "Oh, we just all go and we groom, and then you make $10,000 or $15,000 in your whole time, and then everybody who, you know, the whole crew goes out and rents a yacht in the Caribbean, and we just sail around for a couple of weeks." And I said, "No, thank you." I knew my life was on the line then. I knew that I would be killed. That's what, even back then, people on go and do what they call it, trim. They call it trimmigrants, people who come in.
Yeah, I saw that.
Make $10,000 to $15,000. Yep. That was understood that was dangerous back then, okay? So the elements, that's one thing. The other one is that it was well understood at the time when we had an election up there that the person the growers wanted in as a sheriff was a person who would wink at what they were doing. And it was well understood because everybody's smoking dope up there, of course. Everybody voted for the sheriff that was going to hide the fact of what he knew. That was well understood. There was a place that we didn't have Lowe's then, or Home Depot, but I was told that the main product they sold at that time were the drip, you know, the tubing for irrigation.
so it was pretty sophisticated. But was there a central organizing force in southern Humboldt County, or was it kind of every drug dealer for themselves?
Every drug dealer for himself. I was in graphic design at the time, and I went out to dinner one time with my boss. Didn't know this, but they were celebrating her friends who had just purchased 40 acres. They were dope growers. I went, oh, great. But it was just considered normal business, you know. And I had another friend who had an organic farm. He was actually working for a guy who had 20 acres down there on the Eel River. And how do you say, it wasn't, there was no fear to speak of, because the regular people down there are pretty poor because they're hippies. You know, they're just everyday people. Wonderful people in some respect, but there wasn't, there was never a threat at that time. But again, this was 80 to 83. The worst part of that, what didn't come in until the 90s, when it started to get pretty dangerous.
And what did that look like when it started getting dangerous? What started happening?
Well, that's when the girls started disappearing. That's, people, how do you say it? Well, I had another friend who was out hiking. He was hiking with a buddy on forest land, and his life was threatened. This was when I was there in the 80s. So I began to understand very quickly, be very careful in the forest. I never went hiking for that reason.
Why would they be threatened for hiking in the forest?
Because they're growing dope on forest land. They just set up a tent or a little lean-to, bring mm-hmm. in some buckets of, growing buckets, and they set up their water system.
You know, the one thing that the documentary did not expose is, how did these people go from growing to distributing? Do you know anything about that?
In that town, again, everybody has a source, you know, to buy their dope. And it was the Arcata Plaza, which you see on some of, anybody, if you want to Google this out there, Google Arcata Plaza, and you can kind of get a sense of the culture. And everybody's just making an exchange with each other. And everyone knows each other. It's a very small town. And so they had their, their dealers who they would buy from. Someone would come in from the, an illegal grower. He would just come in and in the satchel, he'd just have a few baggies and he would sell. That's how it was. Very simple. Just like a farmer's market.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It very much sounds like a farmer's market. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. That's absolutely incredible. Well, when did the Sinaloas move in? Do you have a time frame?
My opinion is the 90s, because the Sinaloas didn't even come into being down in Mexico until 1988. Mid-90s. Once they started working in Southern California and up the coast, and then once they knew, how would you say, well, that's, they controlled the drug trade and trafficking, all of the trade. I think I sent a couple of maps to you. That the Sinaloas actually control the trade routes down there. The worst massacres of people on the roads are right where there's a distribution area where the roads come through from Central America up. So they have control over the drug, how would you say it, the routes.
I mean, coming out of Colombia and places like that.
Yes, and so this is what they knew. They knew how to set up those routes, is my point. And once they got into Humboldt, people selling drugs up there, methamphetamine, heroin, etc., they then started buying, in my opinion, buying drugs from the Sinaloa. The Sinaloa began buying drugs and trafficking drugs with the illegals, with the illegal growers.
And what was the time frame again?
The Sinaloas came, they started in 1988.
So for 30 years they've been there. Interesting. Very interesting. Let me tell you what about a phone conversation I had, Marilyn, with Paul Preston off air on, I believe it was Saturday night. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. We're getting that voice interference here, and I think it's only audible on my end, and I'm not sure if it'll show up on the broadcast. So if you think I'm hearing voices in my head and I'm schizophrenic, perhaps that's true, but
it's shocking to me, Dave. I've never been into drugs at all. It's just not my scene. I'm an athlete, like I said. What is shocking to me is why this subject matter is such a problem.
Let me tell you why. This goes to what I was just going to say. Paul Preston, and by the way, people who don't know, Paul Preston is the president of the New California Movement, has Trump support to become a 51st state. They're following all the rules. It looks like it's going to happen. He also is a popular talk show host on Agenda 21 Radio. And also, in addition, he's a former school administrator, including having been a superintendent. So we're not talking a nut job here. We're talking about one of the finest researchers in the country. And Paul and I were speaking on Saturday night. He gave me a quick call, and we talked about what was new with New California Movement. And then we got into Humboldt County in a little more detail. And I said, Paul, let me tell you what I found. And then he reminded me of what we already had discussed on my radio show prior, a couple years before. I said, Paul, I'm finding connections in the Calexit with the Sinaloas. And I said, and some of it's direct right into Humboldt County in that area in Northern California. He didn't bat an eye. He said, oh, yeah. He said, Dave, we covered this. Remember the Sinaloas and the other cartels were meeting, and he had embedded sources that were at the Calexit movements. And I'm talking with George Soros, people like Eric Holder were there. And they said, well, if we can't get Calexit, we'll just start executing white people in public. We'll have massive false flag events. We'll force our way out. And right now, Calexit's in a kind of a, what we call a dormant hibernating mode, but they're gathering great sums of money from this drug trafficking. And I discussed this with Paul, and he said, Dave, this has always been there. He said, this has always been the plan. And so, Marilyn, to answer your question, you know, what's the goal? The goal is to fund CalExit. Now, here's where this goes a step further. If CalExit ever became reality and the California state left and became a protectorate of the UN, which is the plan under CalExit, they would withhold their retail. They'd withhold the shipment of agriculture out of California. This would cause a famine in different parts of the world that depend on California agriculture, including the United States. And we would have a retail apocalypse in this country, and our economy would nosedive. And do you want to bring down the United States? Let California leave the Union and become an isolationist nation. That's the end goal. That's what they're really up to.
Well, the Chinese are involved in it, too. One of the articles I read, there's a Chinese triad involved in Humboldt. They're with the Sinaloa. So the point is, it's a network. This is another point. This is a worldwide network. If anyone else wants to verify what we're saying here, go into Google and just look up just the basics, Sinaloa Wikipedia. There are probably 15 gangs that are involved with the Sinaloa. So these guys do the trafficking, no doubt, and the protection, etc.
Well, there's no question. you said the Chinese are involved. HSBC
yes.
Bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, busted here in this country for laundering money, for drug trafficking, child sex trafficking, gun running, for the Clinton Foundation. Comey and Mueller were both involved at different times. I've documented that on my website. And what's interesting is, Paul Preston already identified that these people were part of this movement. I mean, we talked about this in 2016. So we've known this for a long time. So you're absolutely right in what you're saying. And let's not forget Senator Dianne Feinstein. There's no more a corrupt individual in the Senate than she is. I mean, she came into the Senate as a millionaire, and now she's a multi-billionaire on $170,000 a year salary. But listen to what she got busted for. You remember, and this is widespread, her driver for 20 years was a Chinese spy, and that's mainstream media.
Right. Well, see, think of Humboldt as a big factory. All that it is a dope factory, period. And that's what they want. They want to own that part of the production. They want to own the production. Marijuana is, in some of the videos we both saw, marijuana, how you say, Humboldt is becoming, with the quote, corporate and those are guys are taken over by the cartels. That's another discussion. The Humboldt is the Napa Valley of dope. And another thing I read, Santa Barbara, which is wine producing, some of those guys are getting into growing dope. So, you know, this whole trade is going to be up and down the coast.
Oh, boy. My wife and I spent a day touring Napa Valley. It was one of the most fun vacations we ever had, not because of the alcohol, but just because of the aesthetic beauty and the organization, the culture. I was fascinated by it. And now you're telling me that's being compromised.
Well, yeah, I was in the wine and cheese business for a couple of years out of Carmel and Monterey and Santa Barbara. And the growers of wine, because of the big box stores, the long short story is these guys are farmers. If they can make more money on dope, you just watch. The wine trader, the wine guys are going to be getting into this vineyard. It's already happening. Santa Barbara. The one guy that I mentioned, who is a corporate guy, he has a botanist and a, he's a botanist and a biologist working his field. And the front is, this is a corporate business at the front.
Interesting. Well, I remember they had a lady on the documentary, Murder Mountain, and she indicated she had a master's degree. So they are drawing some legitimate people. I mean, we're not talking the dregs of society just show up in Humboldt. They're getting some sophistication, but there's a shift here in the brief time we have left. I want to shift this a little bit. What I have noticed and what I picked up on in the documentary and what I found and what you sent me and other things I've looked at, the black marketeers can't convert very easily to legalized growing of pot because the upfront costs are too much for the average person to absorb. So the corporations are moving in now and taking over, and that is who I'm told is doing business with the Chinese and the Sinaloas. Is that what you're getting to?
Yes, but the thing is that they have to, what do you say, the image. They have to portray a very clean-cut image. The one video I saw from one of the corporations up there that's starting, very clean-cut operation, is marketing. They want everybody to know, oh, we're keeping our hands clean here. And I'm saying the guy is probably shipping out only 3 or 5% of what he's growing. Well, where's the other 97% of his dope going to? And also money laundering.
Well, that's where HSBC comes in because they are the masters. I interviewed John Cruz a number of times. He was a senior VP for HSBC and an honest, honest guy. He worked his way up without being criminal. And then he discovered, you know, I've got all these weird transactions here coming across my desk. I better go check it out. So he went out to this home that was on this address. He said it was a boiler room. He said it was all about stealing people's identifications and turning them into fake accounts so they could launder money. And he said, no, and hell no. And just, I'll tell the story here real, real quick because it's really almost hilarious, except it's not funny because it's true. John found that this went all the way into the Clinton Foundation, and he's been on my show and said that. And at the time, the man who was one of the board of directors for the Clinton Foundation operating out of London was James Comey. How funny is that? And, of course, the Clintons were involved in this. So, I mean, I'm assuming these same people are still there. And here's what I've often said. Why would you be opposed to border security and screening who's in the country unless you're making money on illegal deals at the border? And this story really kind of illustrates why I believe what I believe. And what we are now seeing here is this conglomeration of forces who are basically trying to turn America into a narco-terror state. That's how I see it.
Right, and... Right, in an article I just sent you, just saw it came in the news just in yesterday. A guy was arrested just in yesterday in Tijuana. He had grenades, he had rocket launchers, he had all this ammunition on him. What the heck?
Yeah, narco-terror state. You're exactly right. Well, we got a couple of minutes left, but I want to just say this to you up front. We've only scratched the surface. I'm sure you agree with that. You sent me War and Peace. So, and then, yeah.
You know what? That was done. I really get into research. You know what? We have to document what we're doing.
Absolutely. No question.
This is not just off the back of our mind here. This is all true.
I'm going to say this to you on the air. You need to go horizontal. And here's what I mean by this. The worst thing you can have, and you can ask Breitbart and Michael Hastings that question if they were alive to answer it. If you have proprietary information that's damaging to criminal cartel members, the last thing you want to do is to hang on to it. You need to make sure it's disseminated. So what I have found, and before I print big stories, I make sure 8 or 10 of my closest allies in the independent media have it, but also people you'd never think to look at, with instructions to release. And because I'm very, very verbal and vocal about doing this, you know, I think this has helped increase my longevity, Marilyn. You need to do the same thing. And they can be the custodian at your local school. They can be someone's grandmother from 20 years ago who you're friends with. But you need to get this out far and wide, and you need to do it tonight.
Yeah, I'm already doing that. So all the articles and things I'm sending to you, this is just, you know, like I said, 1% of what is potentially out there. Not potentially, just 1%. 1% of what I sent to you, which was 36 hours of crunch.
Oh, it's incredible. listen, I deal in research and data. In fact, I'm a trained researcher, a trained statistician. I've written courses in it. And this was as good a stuff as I've seen. I thought, this is so voluminous. I didn't have time to get through all of it. It was just too overwhelming. And so this is one thing I want to put out there for you, too. Because we've only covered a minority of the problem, and the problem is even more far-reaching than what we've identified here. I mean, we can name specific people in government who are involved. So, Marilyn, what I'd like you to do is to prepare an expose on the things we did not cover this time, and I'm hopeful that we can spend more time on task, and we're not going to be buzzed by F-35s and have people speaking between us and having these 10-second cutouts, because they know what we're doing, and they don't like what we're doing, and that's why they're messing with what we're doing. And to people who are just listening to the show first time, when I went to interview Ammon Bundy live on my Global Radial Star system, two independent satellites, live stream, everything you'd want, so many ways to communicate, all taken down at the same time, so Ammon could not interview with me from the refuge. Eventually, we got him on through Skype, and we did it secretly and covertly. But this is what we're seeing here. We're seeing widespread interference to keep you from finding out about this stuff. So, Marilyn, can I get you to prepare something, and maybe early next week we can go ahead and do an expose on part two of what we have not covered?
Can write it up, or do you mean write it for you? Or
no, just prepare it in the same way you have here, but we'll be a little more systematic in our approach.
I can do it in kind of an outline of everything, you know, point to point.
Yeah, I'll be a little more focused, and I promise the audience I won't let myself get distracted by these distractions they're throwing our way. And we'll go from A to Z about what we have not covered. Because, Marilyn, would you agree with me? We've only scratched the surface.
Oh, 1% at the most. Dave, would you like me to give out an email address to the folks? Because I'd be happy to flip this over to whoever wants to.
Yeah, we've got about 10 seconds for you to do that.
Okay. I can be reached at Marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N. See, let me just give you my actual address. Hang on. I was getting a new address. Hang on. Marilyn, it's Marilyn R, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N-R, @startmail.com.
Okay.
Send me an email. My name is Marilyn Rupart, and I will be happy to communicate with you and send you whatever I have so you guys can get it out as well.
And don't agree to any private meetings. Marilyn, we are flat out of time. We're up against it. This was stunning, fascinating, and all we did was just lay the groundwork here. That's all we've done here, folks. We'll be a lot more focused the next time because we know we're being interfered with, and we'll be more ready for it, not so distracted. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on the Common Sense Show. Our thanks to Marilyn Rupart. We look forward to having her back on again for part two, and we'll see you back here again next time.